Good evening. Can everybody hear me? Okay, let's pray. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to give you praise and honor and glory. Father, to say thank you for this privilege that you've given us to fellowship with you in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for reconciling us, enabling us to have communion with the Father through your finished work. Holy Spirit, we're looking to you, trusting you, leaning on you to help us this night to receive revelation of what prayer is and how to pray effectively. We give you all honor, all glory, all praise, all blessing, all thanksgiving for everything that will be wrought this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. My name is Joanne Thompson. I am humbled by this opportunity to share with you concerning prayer. When the assignment came last Wednesday night, I want you to know I was weak in the knees. I'm not as weak as I was on Wednesday night, but I'm still a little weak. It is just an awesome, awesome privilege and a very, very humbling experience for me that the Lord assigned me to do this through our apostle. Amen. I'm trusting the Holy Ghost to speak through me to you this night. I have prayed that you will have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to understand, and to receive. Amen. There's so much I could tell you. As our apostle said, I am one of the prayer leaders here at Word of Life Christian Center, prayer leader, intercessor. Amen. Just in preparing, you know, I thought back to the day when I did not know how to pray. I knew Our Father. I knew bless mama, bless daddy, bless children, and bless, but that's all I knew. And a member from this ministry gave me a book. And the title of the book, I will never forget, Releasing the Ability of God Through Prayer. And the author of the book, you know, he said, you may not be able to receive everything in this book, but put it on the shelf. You will need it, or you will come back to it later. And I want you to know, I couldn't receive it because this man was talking about all manner of prayer, all kinds of prayer, different rules for prayer. He's talked about the prayer of petition, the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of supplication. I had no idea what in the world he was talking about. But from that moment, God began to birth in me a desire to learn to pray. And I told God, I said, I'm not going to pray again until I learn how to pray. And then I start hanging around this bunch here at Word of Life Christian Center. Amen. And I began to see and to hear people praying. And I decided I'm going to do exactly what they're doing. And I found that those people that I was watching, you know, we always have some people that we watch. They came to prayer before every service. They came to corporate prayer. And just to give you, you know, just a glimpse of Word of Life Christian Center, for those of you who may not be members here, or those of you who may be too young to know the prayer life of Word of Life Christian Center. But when I started hanging around this ministry, and I say hanging around because I hung around for about 2 years before I acknowledged my membership here. But I hung around, and I began to understand that this church, this, you know, this group of people, these people believed in prayer. This man of God believed in prayer. Not only did they have corporate prayer and prayer before every service, but they had family prayer. They had couples prayer. They had singles prayer. You know, now this was way back. We currently have 6 a.m. prayer 5 days a week. You know, that's what's going on here at Word of Life Christian Center. This is not the first time we've done that. Years ago, not too many years ago, we prayed at 6 o'clock in the morning for 5 days a week for over 5 years. Our apostle, our pastor, is a man of prayer, and he has always taught us that before every endeavor, you know, we had to pray. We had to saturate every endeavor with prayer. You as students here in the School of Ministry, those here, those watching by internet, we have to begin to discern and understand the time that we're in right now. God is ready to pour out his blessings on his children. But we have to be prepared, in position to receive what God is ready to pour out. You know, we saw it beginning at camp meeting. You know, the glory of God. Our apostle's been teaching us on the supernatural. And he's always stressed that, you know, one of the quickest ways, you know, he's taught us about praise and worship, and he's taught us about prayer. Amen? And the importance of prayer and the importance of praise and worship. And, you know, I had the opportunity to begin to read the book that y'all have been given on prayer, and I began to just see, and it began to just open up to me, okay, this is what we need to be doing, because if we're going to receive all that God has for us, we have to pray. Amen? We have to pray. Not long after I received the assignment, God gave me a scripture. I want you to turn to James chapter 5. Hold on to your books, because we're gonna go to the book. James chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 16, but we're going to look at only the B part. James 5, verse 16. And in the King James, it reads, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." In the Amplified, it says, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." And what I wrote was praying effectively. And when we're talking about praying effectively, we're talking about praying to get results. Amen? Praying to get results. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when I was reading in the book, you know, the author was saying that, you know, he was talking about the reasons for prayer and the purpose for prayer. And we thought we pray to receive a blessing from God, but that's not the reason and that's not the purpose of our prayer. Amen? You know, the author talked about the reason we pray, he says, that the reason we pray is to have an intimate relationship with God. The reason we pray is to have an intimate relationship with God. If we want to get results to our prayer, we're going to have to develop an intimate relationship with God. And in developing that intimate relationship with God, what happens, we begin to know Him. We begin to know His ways. We begin to know why He does the things, you know, that He's doing and how He's going to do them. It is to know God's deepest secrets. Amen? You know, that's the reason we pray. It's not not to get the thing that we want or desire or dream. And what's going to happen as we begin to develop that intimate relationship with God, He's going to see to it that we receive those things. Amen? Things that we need, things that we desire, things that we dream, visions that He's given unto us. But we have to keep in mind that it's all about Him. Amen? You know, when it comes to prayer, I mean, I don't know about you, but I can only speak for me. You know, that's not always what I thought it was. That wasn't the reason. That's not the reason I thought of, you know, initially. But it's all about Him, having an intimate relationship with Him. And during that time of having an intimate relationship with Him, He begins to reveal to you His secrets. He's going to give you instructions. He's going to give you directions. If there is a need for correction, it's going to happen in prayer. Why? Because you're seeking Him. You're seeking Him. You're seeking His will. He's going to tell you how to do it. He's going to tell you when to do it. He's going to give you peace while you're waiting. Amen. You know, we believe in the straight way immediately and now. We believe in that. Amen. But in prayer, if it doesn't happen immediately, you're going to begin to have that peace and that assurance that He hears me. And I can tell you, I tell myself, I say, no matter what, I'm going to be all right. You know, but it only happens in prayer. And that's why there is such an urgency for the body of Christ at this time to pray. Your author was saying, you know, that one of the reasons people don't pray, and they talk, you know, he talked at length about, you know, in the body of Christ today, only a small percentage of people pray continuously, pray persistently. You know, we might mumble a little something here and there, especially in times of trouble, in times of distress. No. You want to pray when things are going good. You want to pray all the time so that when trouble comes, you know, you're not in fear. You're not trying to figure out, you know, what it is I need to do. You're going to know because you are developing your prayer life in good times. When the trouble comes, then you're going to know, you know, I know what to do. I know how to pray. And then you're going to be able to pray effectively. Why? Because number one, it's all about Him. You've been seeking Him. Your trust in Him, your belief in Him is going to get to the point that you know it's going to be all right because He's going to give you instructions and He's going to give you directions during those times. Amen? It is so, I mean, I can't stress enough the importance of praying at this time. We talk about the supernatural. Yes, God is performing and doing the supernatural in our lives, and He's doing it right now. One of the things I was concerned about is, you know, it's going to take There are miracles, there are signs, there are wonders that are taking place. But the Bible teaches us that, you know, the enemy is going to come. So if you have not learned how to pray, are you going to be able to hold on to it? You know, this is what we see sometimes. You know, you'll get it, you know, in one of the services where the glory is flowing, Well, what's going to happen when you get home? What's going to happen 2 weeks? What's going to happen 3 weeks down the road? If you've got a consistent, continual prayer life, if you are seeking God and having that intimate relationship with God, when the enemy comes, however he comes, you know, he's not going to come straight at you, you know, however he comes, you're going to know how to deal with him. You're going to know how to hold on to what it is that you have received. Amen? It's so, so, so important. God, according to our author here, you know, he says, God cannot have fellowship with individuals who are living in sin. You know, cannot. Amen? So that tells us that if there's anything in our lives that is contrary to the word of God, to the will of God, we need to get it straight. Amen? We need to get it straight because God cannot have, you know, fellowship with those of us who choose to live in sin. There was another thing he said. I mean, and it's like, oh my gosh, I was just in awe. He writes, he says, thousands of believers, I want y'all to listen to this, and y'all have read it, you've read it, it's in your book. Thousands of believers attend church every Sunday. They sit in their seats, but do not have any personal relationship with him. You know, see, and listen to what he said now. He said believers. You know, he didn't say unbelievers. He didn't say sinners. He said thousands of believers attend church every Sunday. They sit in their seats, but do not have any personal relationship with him. Their prayer life and reading of the word is practically non-existent. They lack the vision of God and have no idea what God's will and purpose is for their lives. Some are living in sin and have no idea who God is. Yes, listen to this. Yes, they received him as Lord and Savior. But after this, they neglected to establish that relationship with him. As a result, they live in wretchedness and defeat. Everything goes wrong. We're talking about believers. Everything goes wrong. Our communion and relationship with God is priceless and should be a priority in our lives. Amen? It is priceless and it should be a priority in our lives. And what he's talking about is the prayer life, praying and then studying the word, reading the word. And one of the things that I've found is you can't really pray effectively without having some knowledge of the word of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. You know, he helps us a lot of times. You may not know exactly, you know, where it is, but the Holy Spirit will give you a word. He might speak one word. He might speak one phrase. And then that one word and that one phrase, when it comes up, you look in your concordance, and then you'll go ahead and you'll find the place where it's written, and there's going to be your answer. Amen? Amen. But you got to have the knowledge of the word in order to pray effectively. Said the main reason we pray and study the Bible is not to receive blessings. That's what I told you, I was getting ahead of myself. It's not to receive blessings. You know, for many of us, that's what we thought. We thought that we pray and we study the word to receive blessings from God. But it is to know God better. Amen. We pray and we read and study the Word of God so that we can know God better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The author also, you know, he talks about, you know, the main, the main reason we pray and study the Bible, you know, it's not to receive the blessings, but to know him better. He talks about the communion, you know, the communion between us and God. He says, communion with God is very important. Through it, we communicate with him. You know someone loves you when they say it. There is great power and action behind these words. Communication is part of God's nature. His desire is to have fellowship with us and to share with us his will and his purpose. And it happens in prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. It happens in prayer. There was another, the part that says, how can we apply this to our lives? If we seek God's face, everything else will be added unto us. If our priority is to seek a close relationship with him, then everything will come our way. We should regard prayer as a priority, and our relationship with him should be the most important thing in our lives. It should be the most important thing in our lives. Amen? And, you know, and we're going to believe that, you know, prayer is becoming the most important thing in our lives because we're getting, you know, to the point where God is ready, and we have to put ourselves in position to be able to receive all that God has. But we got to pray. Amen? We got to pray. Prayer is not, let me see, if I want to. It's a command. You know, Jesus said, you know, men ought always to pray. Amen? Always. He didn't say sometimes. He didn't say in trouble. He said, we ought always to pray. Jesus was a prayer. You know, throughout the gospel, you know, where we, you know, we read where Jesus went away, you know, to a, I don't know if it's a solitary place to pray. And at other times he prayed with the disciples. But Jesus was a prayer. And if we are to follow his example, you know, we have to pray. My grandma used to say, if Jesus had to pray, then what about me? You know what I'm saying? That's what she used to say. Then what about me? The difference is, you know, she didn't understand, number one, the reason for praying, you know, was to develop a relationship with him. No, she didn't understand that. I didn't understand that. You know, I thought it was to get the blessings, you know. Lord, give me. Lord, bless. Lord, protect. Lord, you know, it was hardly ever, you know, about him. Hardly ever about, Lord, what you want? Lord, what you want for this day in my life? Lord, for what do you want for this time? You know, he has a will and he has a purpose for each and every one of our lives in here. And what we have to do is spend time in communion with him to find out, well, what it is. What it is that you want, Lord. And recognize that we are co-laborers together with him. Amen. God yearns for our fellowship with him so that he can do for us what he wants to do. And so often, you know, this is the area of our lives that we are neglecting. We go to church. Amen. We might go to prayer meeting. But what about that private, intimate time in prayer and fellowship with God? This is what we have to do. You know, and I always encourage even my children. You know, you start off with, even if it's 5 minutes, amen? I mean, sometimes just 5 minutes of earnest, heartfelt fellowship with God will prepare you for the day, the week, and the month ahead. It will. Because sometimes he will just speak a word to you. Nobody but you. It's just for you. Amen? About what it is he wants you to do. And as a result of your doing it, you know, that thing that you needed, desired, dreamed about, it will just fall in your lap sometimes. Amen? Just fall in, because he yearns. He yearns to bless us. He wants to bless us. He's ready to bless us. But we have to get ourselves in position to be able to receive from him. The only way that we can do that is by spending time with him and asking him, well, Lord, what do you want? You know, we don't think about that. We're so quick to tell him what we want, but we have not learned how to ask him, well, Lord, what do you want? Amen? What are the benefits of having a close relationship with God? We will have peace. Amen? Peace, no matter what's going on, you'll have peace. Why? Because he's our peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. Amen? And when you spend time with him, he gives you peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Says another benefit, then we'll begin to see the signs and the wonders. Glory to God. We'll be satisfied and we'll be complete. Hallelujah. You know, and then your author goes on and he talks about how can we establish a close relationship with God. And I heard our apostle talk about that, you know, humbling ourselves. We have to humble ourselves before his presence. We have to acknowledge, you know, you are God. He gives us the scripture over in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and guess what? And pray. Amen. And pray. And seek my face. Hallelujah. Seek my face. Seeking him. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. Glory to God. And then he, at the end of that first chapter, he says, we must begin to pray immediately. You know, that's how he ends it. You know, we don't have any time whatsoever to waste. We have to begin to pray immediately because God is doing some things right now. And he wants us to be a part of that. Amen? He wants to include us. And how can we begin to receive? It's by spending time with God. About 2 weeks ago, I was reading one of my devotions. And in the devotion, they were talking about, you know, God being our sufficiency. And I want to say it's 2 Corinthians 3:5. But well, we can look at it. Let me look and see. Let me make sure. Got to hold on to this. Somebody say that's it. Somebody say that's it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:5. not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. During that devotion, you know, he was talking about the sufficiency of God, but he also talked about what the fellowship, that when we have fellowship with God, through fellowship with God the Father, there are some things that God will provide. When you spend time in communion, in fellowship, in prayer, God will provide certain things. And that's what this devotion was talking about. One of the things he said that God will provide is strength. Amen? Amen. Strength. And I just wrote down Ephesians 3:16. That's not the only scripture on strength, but that was just one. You know, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we spend time in fellowship with God. Another thing that we receive is wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can give you example after example about the wisdom of God. You know, just come in when you pray. Wisdom when you need it the most. And I found out when wisdom come, boldness come. Man, you get bold, you know. Hallelujah. You know, it's just like, wow, you know, was that me? Yeah. It comes. The boldness comes. And the scripture that I wrote down, now he may give you something else. The scripture I wrote down was Proverbs 4:7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we spend time with God, these are the things that we can begin to expect that God will provide and supply in our lives. Another one is grace. Hallelujah. And we know grace as his favor. And I wrote down only one, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And we know it's not of ourselves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this other one, it was real, real good. He said, when we fellowship with God, he provides and supplies ability. Amen? Ability. And you know what that is? The anointing and the power. Hallelujah. Yeah, when you spend time in fellowship, in communion with him. And what I wrote down was Isaiah 10:27. And that's the one that talks about the yokes being destroyed and the burdens being removed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can have expectation to receive from God when we spend time in fellowship and in communion with him. Isaiah 10:27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. What I've decided that in my personal prayer time, these are four things that I'm going to be praying about. I'm going to pray about strength. I'm going to pray about wisdom. I'm going to pray about grace, which is the favor of God. And I'm going to pray about ability or the anointing. And I'm going to encourage each of you to do the same thing. Amen? Now, I'm making an assumption that everybody here is filled with the Spirit and pray in tongues. Amen? If at any point anybody is having any problems with your prayer language, you know, you can. It's okay to let us know. Let me know. And we can pray with you. And when I say having some problems, I mean, you know, every now and then people receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but they feel like, well, I don't know, my prayer language has not been developed. Well, amen. We can help take care of that. You know, I often share, when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I got one syllable, amen. And it was sounding something like a sheep. It was bad, 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 bad. And that's all I was saying. But I can remember the man of God who ministered to me. He said, you have received. Now thank God for it. Amen? And so that's all I did. For probably about a week or 2 weeks, I think it was no more than about 2 weeks, I just began to thank God for it. And I began to express to God my desire for that gift to be perfected in my life. And you can do it too. Amen? And do you know, I mean, the rivers began to flow at a time when I did not quite expect it. I was on my way to work on top of the Sunshine Bridge, and man, it began to flow. Hallelujah. And the tears began to fall, and I just lifted up one hand, and I began to thank God for it. And, you know, I explain to people now, and I think that experience, I don't care hardly any time, this has been many, many years now, when I get in that car, you know, I am going to pray. Amen? And I can be dangerous on the highway when I do it. Don't get me wrong now, because I guess it was this church, after 6 a.m. prayer, I was so drunk. In the spirit, got in the wrong lane and blew my horn at the other car, saying, "What are you doing?" And I was in the wrong lane, but that's, you know, I just love to pray in my car, because the perfection of the gift of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, came in my car. And so I always tell the Lord, I need a good car, reliable car, dependable car, you know, so I can, you know, be at ease and pray in my car. I do it all the time. And I know people look at me like I'm strange. But I'm beginning to realize that, you know, it is so, so important to spend time in fellowship with God. Amen. And I am going to begin to pray for you. We are all busy. We're all in a hurry. But when we commit, that's the word, when we commit to spending quality time in earnest, heartfelt prayer to the Father, amen, it's going to do something for you. And now that you know that, you know, you're seeking Him, what do you want, Lord? For this day, what do you want? What's your will? Amen. It's not about what I want no more. No more it's about what I want. It's about what He wants. Amen. If we are going to walk in the supernatural, live in the supernatural, the way our apostle is teaching us, we're going to have to prepare ourselves through prayer and study of the Word. Amen. If y'all have any questions, I'm going to ask that you write them down, email them to me. I'll pass it on to Dean or to Apostle, and then I will always get back to you. You know, I'm pretty sure if there are questions I can't answer, you know, I'll pass them on, put your name on it, and I assure you I will get back to you an answer. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this privilege, Lord God, to speak your word to your people, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that we are committing ourselves to spend more quality time in fellowship with you, Lord God. Father, we want to know what it is that you want. What is your will, Father? And we commit, Lord God, that in prayer, we will seek your face. We will seek your will, your purpose, your plan, your way, Lord God. And we will yield to your time. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, pray about strength, wisdom, grace, and ability. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all be blessed.